As an unlicensed doctor, we suggest a prescription for one of our shows. Sign up for our free podcast at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher. Fake Doctor's Orders. Sportsnet 590 The Fan on demand. It's your post-game workout. You're listening to Leafs Nation Postgame on Sportsnet 590 The Fan.
Van Riemsdyk fanned on a one-timer. Centering pass is going to come out and all the way down into the Toronto zone. And it'll be Zaitsev getting back to it with just 10 seconds left. And the Montreal Canadiens are going to continue their domination of the Maple Leafs as it is shot towards an empty net and wide, and time runs out.
Joe Bowen counting down the final seconds of what was a very entertaining 5-3 Montreal Canadian victory over the Toronto Maple Leafs. As he mentioned, though, it is 13 consecutive wins now for the Montreal Canadiens. Last 13 times they played the Toronto Maple Leafs, they have been victorious. We'll talk about that. We'll talk about the small picture, the big picture. The game tonight is we welcome you to Leafs Nation postgame, brought to you by your GTA Acura dealer, Gord Stelic, Todd Aluska on Sportsnet 590, The Fan, and the Leafs Radio Network. We'll hear from Maple Leaf head coach Mike Babcock in a few minutes, many of the players involved in tonight's game. And we welcome you, the listener, to give us a shout. 870-0590, star 590 on your cell phone network, 1-888-666-0590. Losing my voice a little bit because it was quite a game, Todd Aluska. I mean, it was a little bit of everything, but you heard a lot of Toronto Maple Leaf fans liking what they saw, even in defeat.
Well, you know, Gord, I always, there was an old adage I remember talking to one of my good buddies, and he's now a broadcast play-by-play guy or color guy for the Philadelphia Flyers. Chris Therrien used to always tell me, he goes, there's never bad games. He always told me, he goes, I've never played a bad game in my life. He goes, but I've had bad shifts in my life during a game. And I think that's kind of, that's what today's game is all about. Toronto didn't have a bad game. They had a couple, breakdowns early in the game, late in periods. But all in all, it wasn't a terrible game. They just had a few bad shifts that ultimately cost them the game tonight.
Well, and again, this is what we call our walk to the subway, which be getting kind of crowded now because most people stayed pretty well to the end. And when you're talking about bad shifts, we got so many games within a game. Alexander Radulov, what a great game!
Oh, he was great today.
A little feistiness with Nazem Kadri as well. Mitch Marner, what a show he put on! 3 assists, all of them highlight reel type things. So we had a lot of
mixed in with 2 scraps, a mini line brawl. It was an entertaining game.
And funny thing was, I don't think either goaltender was great. I thought Carey Price made a real big save near the end. I thought Freddie Anderson did early on. So, as Jim Ralph said, the first 20 minutes were just kind of a funny game. All kinds of things going on that way.
Well, yeah, no, and that's, again, the goaltenders, we were talking about it. At the end of the game there, Carey Price is basically, we said, this is how you close out games. Watch what Montreal does. Well, you see Jeff Petrie out there. You see Shea Weber out there. Okay, these are guys that Toronto doesn't have right now. But they also got that goaltender back there. And they just did a really good job of shutting things down. But what Carey Price did, not a great game, giving up 3 goals. I mean, some of those goals he had no chance on because Marner was magic out there. But when push came to shove and he needed to shut the door, he was able to do it, and he came out with some brilliant saves. So you're not going to have a 50 shot shutout every single game, but when you can make game changing saves, I guess it is, without making a ton of saves, that's also an elite goaltender doing that to you, and you have to be able to do that. Anderson's done that for Toronto for a number of games this year, but Carey Price just consistently does it. Maybe if he's not having his very, very best one of his game, he still gives his team an opportunity to win, especially late in games when he has to make that one save or 2 saves to preserve a lead, and he did that again tonight.
5-3, as you say, Montreal Canadiens win over the Toronto Maple Leafs. Gord Stelic, Todd Aluska, Leafs Nation postgame. Again, if you want to get in on the conversation, our phone lines are open now, 870-0590. Star 590 on your cell phone network, 1-888-666-0590. And, we'll start off with Ron in Aurora. Hi, Ron.
Yeah, it's Ron with a B, but
Gord, okay.
I guess the Leafs are going to have to trade Kadri now, aren't they? Because I watched the last couple of games. I was there tonight. last night, I mean, that was ridiculous that a senior referee would go over to a junior referee and tell him to put his arm down on a penalty call. I haven't seen that watching hockey for 50 years. And then tonight, Pacioretty trips him, turns towards the penalty box, knowing full well he got a penalty, and the ref says, no, no, we're not calling you, we're calling Kadri. So, like, at some point, he's become a huge liability to the team simply because of those kinds of plays. And that, listen, I think it's deserved. He spent too much time last year on the ice diving for penalties. But it's getting to the point now where it's ridiculous.
Hey, Rob, I appreciate the call. You know, first of all, last night, I got to say, and Todd, you're the same, and I heard Paul Romanek and Greg Millen talking about on the TV broadcast. Like, I've never seen that before. And we were even kidding. Like, I ref House League. I understand House League is nowhere close to the NHL. All I mean is, you as a referee, the odd time you would start to put your arm up, and then you would say, okay, I'll adjust my chin strap.
Fix my helmet.
Fix my helmet, something like that. Once your arm went up, your arm went up. Yeah. So that was bizarre because, yeah, it was a penalty call that got reversed. You can say that was the right way to do it. I don't know. I really don't. And then this one tonight, we mentioned, let's go to Mike Babcock, hear what he has to say, then we'll be back. Okay, we thought we had Mike Babcock. Should have him any second. Anyway, we'll go live to the Toronto Maple Leaf head coach when he's there, getting all set up for him after. But just, you know, tonight, Brian Pachmer, Jean Hébert had a terrible game. They were brutal. Yeah. And again, we say we don't talk about the effect. I think it's the first time this year we have. Yeah. And it just was unfortunate in a game like this. It was pretty entertaining. And, yeah, the plays on the calls on Kadri were among the many puzzling things.
Yeah, no, there's a couple calls there today. And like you said, we don't really talk about it too much. We don't bitch about the refereeing because we know what a tough job it is out there. But there are some blatant ones today that I thought they missed. Not a great game. And just like players, some players have bad shifts. Referee linesmen have bad shifts every once in a while, and they've got to own it. And I thought tonight was one of those games where there was a few calls that were very puzzling. But at the end of the day, you can't put all the blame on referees. I know it's part of it. But Toronto just didn't come ready to play. I mean, the opening drop of the faceoff and the pucks in the back of their net within 20 seconds of the game. That's a tough way to start the game. And when you're behind the eight ball and you've got there's big Sergio Momesso. See you later, Sergio. Safe flight. I'm sorry, I can't say that, Matt. He's an old buddy of mine. I'm just saying bye to him. what I was saying was I thought that, you know, it takes so much effort to come back from a two-goal deficit. You're always coming back. You're going uphill. You're exerting all that energy. So, you know, by the end of the game, maybe you've ran out of energy because you've been chasing it the whole night. So, but at the end of the day, you cannot get behind the eight ball that early against a team like this and try to score against a world-class goaltender where the other team puts up five and you got to score six against Carey Price. It's not going to happen.
And let's go back to Rob's question as well. In Nazem Kadri's case, he was among the top in drawing penalties, and no question that has dissipated quite a bit that way. Yeah. But I also think that six-year contract, he's found a new different role with the Maple Leafs and accepted it, and we've seen a big part in this play this year. You know what, let's take a break now, come back and try to catch Mike Babcock. We'll also welcome Leafs Nation postgame callers, 870-0590, star 590 on your cell phone, network 1-888-666-0590. 5-3, Montreal defeats Toronto. We'll talk about Boston on the out-of-town scores as well. Gord Stelic, Todd Alushko, you're listening to Leafs Nation postgame, brought to you by your GTA Acura dealers on Sportsnet 590, The Fan and the Leafs Radio Network.
This ain't like when you're at a game and sign up for a credit card just to get the prize and then you immediately cancel the credit card. Because there's no prize when you sign up for our radio shows at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher. Sportsnet 590 The Fan on demand. Breaking down the game in a fanatic, obsessive, bordering on unhealthy manner. This is Leafs Nation Postgame on Sportsnet 590 The Fan.
Welcome back, Leafs Nation postgame, brought to you by your GTA Acura dealers. Gord Stelic, Todd Alushko on Sportsnet 590, The Fan, and the Leafs Radio Network. A 5-3 win for the Montreal Canadiens over the Toronto Maple Leafs. We're taking some calls at 870-0590, star 590 on your cell phone network, 1-888-666-0590, and we'll go live to Maple Leaf head coach Mike Babcock when he hits the podium. Till then, we'll go to Windsor. Carlos in Windsor. Hey, Carlos.
Hey, guys, how's it going tonight?
Good, good, good. Pretty entertaining game.
It was. I mean, there's a little bit of fighting, quite a bit of goal scoring. I love it. I love being a Leaf fan. I like seeing where the team is going. That being said, I'm going to have to criticize Babcock a little bit. I mean, I love Babcock. I think he's the real deal for the for the organization. Why play Anderson again? You're not even midway through the season yet, and you're already kind of making a desperation move like that. The guy played a hell of a game last night. Rest him. There's no need. Let the backup young kid go. In two starts that he played for the Leafs, he played good. Give him a shot Saturday night at the ACC. Why not, right?
Yeah, no, appreciate the call, Carlos. I got to say, and Todd was the same, that we were last night were saying he should play again back-to-back because they have 5 days off now, yep. Or six days before they play, that being a mitigating factor, and you wanted to go best against best. He has given up 17 goals in his last four games, so you're kind of correct there that maybe hasn't been his best goaltending average-wise, but... I don't criticize the decision.
No.
If you do, that's cool.
Yeah, I don't think so either. I understand that. I mean, and it's easy to say that now. Had he ended up standing on his head tonight, it would have been the right decision. I mean, it's tough to criticize the coaches all the time. I mean, Mike Babcock knows what's best for his team, and I got to agree with him. I mean, he has a good game yesterday. I thought he played extremely well, and like you said, Gord, you've got to give your team the best opportunity to win, especially against a divisional rivalry in Montreal on a Saturday night. I don't think it was the wrong move playing him tonight. I agree with Mike Babcock, but everyone's entitled to the view.
Yeah, and Carlos did say he likes Mike Babcock as well, but would have gone with Antoine Bebo tonight. Again, we'll break right when we get to Mike Babcock, but now we'll go to Zach in Milton. Hi, Zach.
Hello there. How are you doing?
We're good. How are you?
Good, thanks. Enjoyed the game, the usual Montreal-Toronto game. Very disappointed with the referee. Correct me if I'm not wrong, but I think Anderson had the same play on his net. If it wasn't last night, it was the game before. And there's no call, nothing said by the announcers about how, you know, there should have been a penalty. In this case, Zach Hyman's going straight to the net. He wouldn't have touched him, and all of a sudden he gets hit by a Montreal defenseman. There's a penalty on Zach Hyman, and Weber comes over and puts a few punches into him, and there's no penalty.
You sound just like Todd Olusko did when we talked
yeah.
about it, right, Todd?
Well,
yeah.
But how can Weber take two punches and there's no roughing behind the net? And even I saw that on the highlight. They said, oh, Weber tried to go after him. He did. And still no penalty.
Well, they ended up getting Weber at the end of the second. He went back at Hyman again at the end of the second period to try to get out of.
But he should have got something then.
Well,
too.
No,
again,
of course.
I don't want to be like a whiny ref kind of guy.
No, but I mean, there is. There's a thing that preferred refereeing. Some of the superstars get it from time to time, and Carey Price got it. And I agree with the caller, and I was adamant about that as well, that Zach Hyman took the puck to the net, but was on an angle. Oh, sorry.
Break. We'll come back. Here's Maple Leaf head coach Mike Babcock.
Game out there tonight, instead of playing against Canadians?
Yeah, I didn't know if it was that chippy, to be honest with you.
Would you make Mitch Marner's game his work on the penalty kill?
Mitch was real good. I thought he was skating and jumping. You know, obviously, we didn't start on time, got ourselves in trouble. You know, some guys weren't good enough. Other guys played really good. So we did lots of good things tonight. But obviously, you can't be chasing the game.
Pardon me?
Yeah, I thought it was good. I mean, we had no penalty killers, so, you know, someone had to go, and I saw him penalty killing Junior Tuns, so, you know, fired him out there. He's got a good nose, and he had good jump and had good stick, so I thought he played good.
The team for Friday, kind of a factor deciding to play him on the back-to-back night?
Pardon me?
Fatigue a factor deciding?
Well, I don't know. You know, I don't know. Obviously didn't make the right decision there. In saying that, you know, it's last time when we did it, we thought it was the right decision. This time it wasn't the right decision. So it's amazing how winning and losing goes into those things.
Was there a point where you felt like they turned? Is it a late goal in the first?
You mean the game?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, I thought we were still in a good spot there. I thought we were in a good spot at 4-3, too. I thought at 5-3, I thought the game was over. No, I mean, we still pushed and had lots of chances, but I thought the fifth one killed us for sure. And yet, I don't think you want to be going against Carey Price saying, I got to get five. I don't think that's the approach. So to me, you know, we started the game. It was simple play. We lost the faceoff. We got knocked down. Guys didn't face the puck. They shot in our net. Second goal's no good. And now we're scrambling back. We get it to 2-2. And you got to know the time on the clock. You can't give up that goal at the end.
And then obviously the fifth goal, you can't give up. So you add it all up. We got a four-day break. Let's get restarted and get ready to go. So, yes.
Well, short and sweet. I guess this break starts now. Is that where he's going? He's going. Who knows where he's going? We don't know if he's staying put. But Mike Babcock, of course, head coach of the Toronto Maple Leafs. Let's grab it. Just Nick's been waiting. So let's get Nick in Mississauga on the line. Hi, Nick.
Yeah, hi, boys. Leave it to Mike to steal my thunder, eh? I was telling your screener, I'm a long-time Leaf fan, but I give Montreal credit, and I hate their guts, honest to God. But the way they win games, they're decimated. They played hungry from minute one to minute 60. They were quick on those 50-50 loose pucks. They knew where to be in the Leafs zone. I thought Morgan Riley played a crap game, so to speak. And the same with Jake Gardner. I don't know if they need to split that pairing up or whatever. I don't want to really blame individually because, you know what? I think the Leafs were not allowed to play their game. They weren't free-flowing out there. It looked like the Canadians, they came with a game plan. And give credit to Therrien. They jammed the Leafs up the middle. They didn't allow the long pass or anything like that. They weren't allowing them to be creative. The Leafs are winning a lot of games this season, the way I see it, by being very creative. And you know what? And they pretty much they shut down Matthews. I mean, he did a pretty good job. But
yeah, appreciate it. Thanks very much. Now, first of all, we've already got that done for you. Jake Gardner, Morgan Riley are not a pair for starters, but but. He did make some good points.
Well, you made a point about the back end, and I agree. I mean, even though it was Jake Gardner and Connor Carrick, and Gardner and Riley haven't been together at all year, the defense, I thought, too, wasn't one of their best games. The one guy, again, that stood out for me was Nikita Zaitsev. I thought he's been probably their most consistent guy, and we've been giving credit to Jake Gardner on how he's turned his game around all season. So when you compliment guys, you have to criticize guys when they didn't play well. And I thought tonight Jake Gardner was kind of just he wasn't all there today, and he was making mental errors for the majority of the game. So I agree to that point, but I mean, again, no concern to panic. I mean, at the end of the day, this is a club that still was in the game. They gave themselves a chance to win. There was a couple bad breaks, bad starts to the game, bad shifts, and it's not a complete collapse of this team. This is something that they're going to learn from again. And like Mike Babcock said, they get to reset. They got 4 days off. Last time they had a long break, they came back, and they were refreshed, and they played extremely good hockey. So this break is going to help these guys. You know, we'll see after tonight. I guess they may drop out. I think Boston won tonight. So they're going to drop out of that playoff spot. But at the end of the day, you're going on your break. You're not quite at 40 games, and you're only 2 points out of a playoff spot. I think the majority of Leaf fans would take that at this point of the season.
Yeah, and you know, another little note, too. The fourth line didn't play a lot tonight. Now, Freddie Gauthier was out after that fight. Matt Martin got in a fight as well, but didn't play. Neither team played the fourth line a heck of a lot. So one of the other little factors in tonight's game are points of interest. There's a lot of them. Pretty entertaining game tonight. We'll take the break, come back. Renaud Lavoie is going to join us from TVA and chat on the Montreal side. We'll continue to take your phone calls. 870-590. Star 590 on your cell phone network, 1-888-666-0590. And our man Matt Brown will also have an out-of-town scoreboard as well. 5-3, Montreal defeats the Toronto Maple Leafs. You're listening to Leafs Nation postgame, brought to you by your GTA Acura dealers, Gord Stelic, Todd Alushko on Sportsnet 590, The Fan, and the Leafs Radio Network.
Subscribe to our radio shows at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher. No medical exam or health questions will be asked. Sportsnet 590, The Fan, on demand. Talk about tonight's game until you're blue in the face. Leafs Nation postgame on Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
And now Matt Martin gets into it here with Michael McCarron, and they go down. Now Gauthier is involved in getting punches thrown at him. Gauthier fighting Bobby Farnham, and Farnham getting a couple of bucks. Oh, Gauthier landed one right on the bugle.
Joe Bowen with the call. He used to call fights a lot while he was calling hockey back in his days in Halifax, so you get a little bit of both, and that's what happened tonight. It's a 5-3 Montreal Canadian win over the Toronto Maple Leafs, but a whole lot of everything that went on tonight. tonight, and we're talking about a Leafs Nation postgame brought to you by your GTA Acura dealers. Gord Stellick, Todd Alushko on Sportsnet 590, The Fan, and the Leafs Radio Network. I mean, this one was, you know, Mike Babcock referred to it last year, a team that didn't have any fights, the Maple Leafs, and just said, well, we're going to take care of that, the one game when they were kind of pushed around a bit. And Matt Martin got it going, and then surprisingly, Freddie Gauthier was the second fight going with Bobby Farnham.
Well, Bobby Farnham, I mean, he's, let's call a spade, he's a little instigator. I think he wanted to get into it. He's been up and down in the minors this year. He wanted to get into it. So there was a willing combatant in Bobby. And Gauthier, he handled himself quite well today. I mean, we talked about it in the intermission. He's a large, large mammal. And, you poke the lion enough times and he's going to get angry. And he did a very, very good job in handling himself. And at the end of the day, I mean, you don't see a lot of scraps nowadays in National Hockey League. But when there are, and their quality like they were tonight, gets the fans out of their seats and gets them excited, as well as getting the guys on the bench jacked.
And we mentioned we'll hear from any of the players involved in tonight's game as well. It's funny, I was just saying to you that last year, now by the way, 13 consecutive wins, the Montreal Canadiens now, over the Toronto Maple Leafs. That's how far it goes back, January 18th, 2004. And 10 straight for Carey Price too as well. Wow. Well, anyway, that would kind of make sense. Mm-hmm. And it just missed the games due to injury mostly. But, you know, last year when they won one game here in overtime and things weren't going well for them, and I remember P.K. Subban was front and center whooping it up, and he really hadn't played all that well
yep.
that game. And it's funny how things went on, and, you know, it just seemed like, and he's a great player. I mean, he really is. But it just seemed like the makeup there about him being front and center maybe wasn't wearing well with the team where, and why I'm throwing this in is Shea Weber, you look at him tonight, about that kind of role yeah. that he brings to the Montreal Canadiens, the point of difference is that way, about the grit, the toughness, you know, going after Zach Hyman, all those other things, and just in a tough, hard, physical game, he really shone.
He did, and he brings a different element than P.K. Subban does. P.K. Subban is an exuberant energy player that you know, he has to play on that edge. He has to have that emotions to make him an effective player. And I think that Shea Weber is probably a little bit more of the mold how the Montreal Canadiens want a captain to be perceived, or not a captain for them, but a leader to be perceived in the back end. And what I noticed the most about Shea Weber is the last few minutes when they're protecting the lead, he's out there. And he just has this calm demeanor about him where it's a simple, as soon as the puck's on his stick, off the glass and out, knows how to battle in front with Leo Komarov at the end. He just does all the little things that, as a young guy on the bench, you're watching this guy and you're saying to yourself, man, I'm glad he is on our team and I'm glad he's a leader in our locker room.
Absolutely, and certainly a great play. And again, Mitch Marner talk about solid games. Other guys will talk about solid games. When we get the out-of-town scoreboard, I don't think we'll get any update tonight about Patrick Laine's status. That was the big story heading in the game. There were two afternoon games. He got decked by McCabe of the Buffalo Sabres. Certainly some form of concussion concerns, and it was a great open ice hit. Seems like there's not going to be any supplementary discipline about that.
Wouldn't think so.
Wayne Simmonds, meanwhile, on the other side, he had kind of a bit of a slew foot. They're going to check, and his, I mean, one of the powerful. Oh, his was the headshot. Who had the slew foot then? Anyway, he had the headshot. So Wayne Simmonds is going to be, he's going to have a meeting with supplementary discipline about that as well. So getting a little bit busier that way, a little more feisty. It was kind of quiet there for a while.
Well, that, and you know, the one thing, I'm just going to jump back a little bit, another injury that the Montreal Canadiens don't need another injury, but it looked like Alexi Emelin went down when Josh Lee, or, sorry,
Zach
was,
Hyman
when
again.
Zach Hyman took a good healthy run at him, and it took him a long time to get himself to the Montreal bench. So Montreal's got to hope that he's not going down. They don't need another guy in the infirmary in Habland.
And by the way, Freddie Gauthier and Bobby Farnham both got kicked out of the game for being the second fights. So, which I don't know the last time we've seen that here. Anyway, a lot going on tonight. Meanwhile, Hockey Headlines, part of our Saturday staple with our friends on TV on Hockey Night in Canada. They talk about a lot of things. One is about possibility of Austin Matthews going to the NHL All-Star Game. Very unusual for a rookie to be able to do that. So here they are, Ron McLean, Kelly Rudy, Nick Kiprios, and Elliot Freeman, Saturday's Headlines.
It's time for the headlines, and the first is mine. I just tweeted out an apology to postal workers in Canada. Not everybody gets social media, so I said letter carriers, effectively their job was obsolete. In the case of Michel Lepensée, who was a letter carrier and an artist, a painter, supposedly painting was dead, and I said his route was discontinued, so his job was dead, but of course it's not true. There's 20,000 letter carriers in Canada, and I feel really badly that I said it that way. Bad communication by me, but thank you. Who doesn't love a letter carrier? We all do. So, Elliot, let's get to the Patrick Laine hit. Who wants to start?
Go ahead, Elliot. You deliver, right?
Yes. Some weeks. Patrick Laine, a big hit today, and again, the Buffalo game, and it was a clean hit. I don't think anybody disputes the fact that he was hit 100% clearly, but he left the game, and there was obviously a lot of concern. Young player, great player, any player, you don't want to see them leaving the ice like this. Now, the good news is he was seen walking out of the building. Paul Maurice also said he had no issue with the hit, but also did not want to give an update. The Jets flew home tonight. He will see the doctors tomorrow. We'll have a clearer picture then.
I'll be really surprised if we don't see him out for a couple of weeks. There was some talk that he was kind of a lock to be a part of the NHL All-Star game. I don't know whether or not that puts this in jeopardy, but there's no question they're going to treat him like a prized possession, and I would believe that they would go beyond what they think is enough time for him to recover.
The J.T. Brown hit by Wayne Simmonds today.
Yeah, there's two things that I always look for, Ron, when I see something questionable. And number one, is it violent? And number two, is it predatory? And I saw neither in this situation. Is it sneaky? Yeah, perhaps. But I think there's a lot of things that he can argue. One of them is he was trying to stay onside, or he was going for a line change. He can also argue that he's entitled to his space on the ice. I don't see this as a suspendable act, but we'll see what happens in the next 24 hours.
I don't either, but I think it's a fine. I think that that was intentional. It's very slight, as you said, very sneaky. But to me, there was intent there.
Suspendable for me. Elliot?
Chris Tanev. Well, I leave it up to the experts.
Okay.
Chris Tanev, not going to play tonight after he got hurt last night in kind of a weird play. He was hit by a shot there. The Canucks are hoping it's day-to-day. They're going to know better on Monday what his availability is, but they're hoping it's not as serious as it initially looked.
Okay, Elliot, the Austin Matthews story that's sort of percolating behind the scenes, or is it a story?
You know, I think it was something that was gaining momentum, as you said, behind the scenes. You know, Lou Lamoriello in the Toronto, and in his history, is they protect rookies. And the Toronto Maple Leafs are a team that is really trying hard to protect their rookies. Mitch Marner, Austin Matthews from the spotlight. Don't let the demands get too great. There was a story growing behind the scenes in the past couple days that maybe they wouldn't want them to be at the All-Star game with the teams getting announced next week. The Maple Leafs' reaction to this was, look, we got a big game tonight against the Montreal Canadiens. We can't even believe this is being brought to our attention. And as one source said, look, Lou Lamoriello was told, everybody said no bonuses when he came to Toronto. Mitch Marner got his bonuses, or half of them, and Austin Matthews got all of them. So I think what the reaction is, I would expect to see Matthews there. I just think that there was some question about whether or not they would be made available, and the Leafs are like, we're not dignifying this with a response.
I've always admired Lamoriello for the fact that he wants to protect rookies, because I think in around the league that you have to make sure that their focus is on the game, and you don't need car deals, you don't need these personal endorsement things. That'll all come, and it's been my experience that sometimes, depending on the person involved, they change, and not for the better.
You can't argue the job that he's done with the young players, absolutely. But this is bigger than car deals or a local endorsement here, especially when you factor in the 100th anniversary. Here's the bottom line. Austin Matthews deserves to be an All-Star. The fans deserve to see him. And this is much bigger, as I said, is something local. So to Elliot's point, he has to go.
Well, you said it, Kelly. They're trying to prevent a big head, right?
Mm-hmm.
And he's going to say, Lou, or the organization is going to say, we'll show you a Stanley Cup if you let it do us our way.
You know, Ron, I always used to, when I first started broadcasting, when I was still playing for Los Angeles, it blew me away when I came here to Toronto and did all the shows with you, and I'd see all the Leafs with car deals and being made, you know, as a big deal. And I'm thinking to myself, there's something wrong here. There's something broken, because these guys think that they're better than they are, and the system's kind of broken. Like, if you earn it, if you're Gretzky, if you're all those top guys, Crosby in today's game, Tays, you earn it. It's different.
And to your point, Ron, if there's 29 other teams that had that same attitude, who would go to California?
Right.
Okay? There's a responsibility to the game as a big picture, did, opposed to what your...
It felt like Edmonton got in trouble with young guys. Too many young guys pushed too soon into that spotlight. So there's that. Anyway, I don't want to take all the time on this. The Los Angeles All-Star Game is where we'll unveil the rest of the Elite 100.
Yep, and there's six current players that are expected to be part of that top 100. And we can speculate here, but you know that Crosby's going to be there. The Stanley Cup's in Chicago with Taves and Kane. Some talk about maybe Doughty or Duncan Keith or Char being on that. But the sense is if those current guys are going to be out there, they're going to play in the All-Star game. With the one exception, we know Jágr is going to be on that list as well. He might have the leniency to sit there and say, okay, come on out there to California, but you don't have to play if you don't want to.
All right, a couple of quick things. You want to do Brandon Carlo, first of all? He's available, is
it? Well, it's the reverse. There was talk this week between Colorado and Boston about Landeskog for the second time this year, and Nick mentioned Trouba earlier in the year. Boston has told teams we're not trading that guy.
And what's the other one you wanted to do is Colorado?
Plekanec.
Yes, Plekanec certainly has been disappointing so far in Montreal. They signed him to that two-year extension at $12 million. They're going to start to get healthy with Galchenyuk coming back, but there's a sense that if he doesn't get re-engaged, that he might be available by the trade deadline.
You're okay on Colorado,
Yeah, we'll do it next week.
There you go, a little bit going on. We'll get called Colorado. Wow, what a tough story that is. That's a Saturday headlines. Ron McLean, Kelly Rudy, Nick Kyprios, and Elliot Friedman. You know, one interesting point, it's something I'm looking forward to seeing as we move forward. I've always maintained about quite often Toronto fans are their own worst enemies. They'll say, who would want to play here? It's a terrible place to play. All the pressure, all that goes on. But they were alluding, whether it's car deals or whatever it is, I think it's an easy place to play.
Mm-hmm.
I absolutely do. I think you get your butt kissed really easy. There's a lot of... it's a lot of recognition factor. So when you go out and that kind of stuff, you're going to be recognized a lot more than in most other NHL markets. But you think back, I mean, the bar is so low that that's part of the problem, I think, is look at Joffrey Lupo. Joffrey Lupo gets off to a good start. All of a sudden, it's Loop's troops. It's Joffrey wants noise. It's what's Joffrey wearing to the games tonight, all that kind of stuff. And, I mean, that's one thing. And Lou Lamoriello will bring in some kind of context and perspective that way because that's something you have to guard against is because, you know, the Phil Kessel era made it seem like everybody was against them. They got treated terribly. They actually get their butt kissed. It's an easy place to play that way.
And can you imagine if they ever end up winning a cup here? Those guys, I mean, you look at the guys of past glory years of how they get treated when they come back here. I mean, it's unbelievable. And if they can end up somehow trying to win a cup in the next decade or so, these guys are going to be heroes forever. And I mean, I'm an Ontario kid. I would have loved to have been able to have a chance to even just play one game for the Toronto Maple Leafs. It's a great spot. So yeah, I agree with you, Gord. I don't know why people say it's a tough place to play. If you're a player and you come here and you actually get a chance to play in this organization, and you ask any guys that have actually played here, there's not one person that says a bad thing about Toronto when they move on and go somewhere else.
Well, we'll talk about some of the other teams playing tonight. There were 12 games around the National Hockey League, so we'll check in on our out-of-town scoreboard when we return. The scoreboard for this game, though, it was Montreal 5, Toronto 3. Very entertaining, exciting game to say the least, but the Leafs come out on the wrong side. You're listening to Leafs Nation Postgame, brought to you by your GTA Acura dealers, Gord Stellick, Todd Olushko, on Sportsnet 590, The Fan, and the Leafs Radio Network.
Subscribe to our radio shows at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher. Do not settle. Demand. Sportsnet 590, The Fan, on demand. Dinner drinks. Pour yourself a cold one. Leafs Nation Postgame on Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
Welcome back, Leafs Nation Postgame. Gord Stellick, Todd Olushko, Leafs Nation Postgame. Brought to you by your GTA Acura dealer. We're still at Air Canada Center. We always do this here. We're the only people here, basically, by the time it's all said. All the energy, all the enthusiasm, all the buzz of what was a very entertaining 5-3 game. Unfortunately for Maple Leaf fans, it was 5-3 for the Montreal Canadiens tonight. But they've left. Family and friends have left over as the Montreal heads home. They've been on the road a fair bit, Todd.
They get, and the Leafs are going to get one more crack at this Habs team this year. They play again on the 25th of February back here at the Air Canada Center. And that'll be the fourth and final game against the Habs. And hopefully they'll be able to, you know, they'll be, hopefully they'll be in the same situation. It's going to be a playoff pending game, maybe. They're going to get some points. It'll be as important as it was tonight. But, you know, the Habs have owned them this year and you know, in many years right now, 13 straight wins. But hopefully they can get that win back on the 25th of February and, you know, hopefully be in a playoff spot.
Well, and with the loss, the excitement, the giddiness in some ways of being in a playoff position last night, that was short-lived. 24 hours later, they're not. But as we talked about, it is scoreboard watching time this time of year. So many playoff battles, so many things going on that way, so we always do it. But it seems especially intriguing with the Leafs' success. So we'll bring our guy Matt Brown in, and he'll go over the NHL scores today. Matt?
Yeah, the big ones today were Boston-Ottawa. Good news in the Ottawa front as the Capitals beat the Sens 1-0. Braden Holtby picks up his second straight shutout. TJ Oshie scores the lone goal, and Nick Backstrom picks up the assist, making him the first ever Capital to reach the 500 assist plateau. Sens tied with the Leafs, 44 points. They do have the advantage. They have 20 wins. The Leafs have 17 wins. The bad news in the out-of-town scoreboard, Bruins win 4-0 over the Panthers, so they move back ahead of Toronto for the third spot in the Atlantic
Division. That's worse news for the Panthers than the Maple Leafs, right?
Yeah, that's a lot of bad news for the Panthers going around. They actually had another injury, so they lost Nick Bjugstad last night, and they lost Roberto Luongo in warm-up. Tonight, Greg McKegg left the game and did not return. Brad Marchand scores twice, one shorthanded, one on the power play. Riley Nash and David Backes get the other ones. Tuukka Rask, 25 saves for his fourth shutout of the season, 25th career shutout, tying him for second all-time in Bruins history. The other scores tonight, the Rangers come back and beat the Blue Jackets 5-4. They score three unanswered goals in the third period. Adam Glendening gets his first and second goals of the season to tie it up. And then Michael Grabner gets his 18th of the season, which is the eventual game winner, which is 17 seconds left in regulation.
Now, you know, good on him. But he played 80 games last year, had 9 goals, missed about 80 breakaways. So he was exciting that way. Anyway, but he was the guy this year coming back, it seems, with the New York Rangers. Okay, anyone a quick one or two you want to add?
We'll get to them later on.
We'll get to them later on. Renaud Lavoie is joining us from TVA. Of course, Montreal covers the Canadiens in the National Hockey League, joining Gord Stellick and Todd Alusco. First of all, Happy New Year, Renaud. How are you?
I'm good. Happy New Year to you too, guys.
Hey, what'd you think of the game? This was a pretty exciting, entertaining game.
It was a great game, and every time we reflect on that game tonight, we just hope that those two teams are going to face each other in the playoffs because it's going to be probably one of the biggest battles that we've seen since a long time. Maybe the last time there was kind of a, you know, a rivalry like that with the Maple Leafs, maybe the Ottawa Senators in the 2000, early in the 2000, it was always great to see those two teams battles with Danny Alfredson on one side and Matt Sundin on the other, and Tucker and all those guys. So, I mean, it you show that those two teams have a lot of character. You see that the Toronto Maple Leafs young players are going to have a great career in the NHL. Right now, I won't say that they were not ready to start that game, but there's one thing for sure. They arrived really late this morning in Toronto. I think they landed at 1:30 in the morning, and just because of that, I think that guys looked a little tired in the first period, and obviously the Canes took advantage of that.
And you know something, haven't played only one playoff round, 1979, since 50 years ago, the Stanley Cup. So that's a few and far between Montreal and Toronto playoffs has been. So I echo your sentiment. That would be great.
Renaud, you know, we look at the game tonight, and you look at all the players that the Canadians had out, 7 regulars out in their lineup.
Yeah.
And hopefully Emelin will be okay. It looked like he got whacked pretty good. He's okay?
Oh, yeah, he's okay.
Well, you know, and you look at this lineup, and the Leafs take a look at it and go, maybe we've got a chance to break the streak that they've have against us with 13 straight wins. But any time you have Carey Price in the back end and you have a guy that's got his fingerprints all over this team now so early in his career now with the Canadiens is Shea Weber. Those two guys alone, you can see the confidence on the face of the kids on the bench knowing that they've got those two guys leading this team with all these injuries that have decimated the lineup so far.
Yeah, I'm totally with you on that.
The biggest difference, obviously, is Carey Price, because last year when there was tons of injuries like this year for the Montreal Canadiens, Carey Price wasn't there, and they couldn't win. That's the simple answer. They couldn't win without him because he was, and he's still the best player, not only for that franchise, but if you look at Sidney Crosby this year, he's just unbelievable. You have to put those two guys in the same sentence as best players in the league. And you look at the way the Maple Leafs played in the third period, they could have scored easily 3-4 goals, if not more. Okay, but Carey Price was the only one being able to make all those saves in the league. If it wasn't him tonight, if it was another goaltender, the Leafs would have scored easily, like I said, 2-3 goals. So Carey Price was the difference tonight. You have to look at the character guys coming in. A guy like Michael McCarron, who was involved in a fight, who scored a goal, who blocked the view of Frederik Andersen on power play, so helping his team for 60 minutes. It's a guy coming in, and yes, he's a big, tall body, but he still needs to prove that he belongs in that league, and he played an unbelievable game. So you have all those young guys. Nikita Sherbak played his first game in the NHL, scored his first goal. I mean, it's tough to beat a team right now like the Montreal Canadiens because there's so many good stories. But at the end of the day, even if there's tons of injuries, you look at Carey Price, you look at all their Ds. Yes, Andrei Markov is not there, but the major injuries are not at the blue line. They're really with the forwards. And in a way, the Canadiens are lucky that way, because imagine if Shea Weber was injured. Imagine if another defenseman like Jeff Petrie was injured. I think we'll have another type of discussions tonight about that game. The fact that the blue line is healthy is, I think, a big difference too.
Yeah, Renaud, it was interesting going back to Nashville for that game and the Shea Weber tribute and that. A funny thing has happened. Alexander Radulov kind of is not the guy they wanted. He was discharged without honor in Nashville. But, yeah. Wow, again, first star of tonight's game.
Yeah.
And this is exactly what they were talking about when they brought him back a couple of years ago. Very impressive. And what's he been like off the ice as well?
Oh, you should see him. Alexander Radulov is one of the guys that I saw this year. I think every time I saw Radu play, he was always ready for a game. So look at the first goal, 20 seconds in. He doesn't have an assist on that goal, but he's the one who created all the opening for the Canadiens with a big hit. And it helped, obviously, the forwards to score. You have to watch him during practices. He's always at 100%. He's always working on his shot at the end of practice. He's always joking around with a guy like Carey Price, which is really important because Carey needs to have a guy like Radulov around him. He's so focused. He's putting so much pressure on himself that if at the end of practices he can go and talk to Carey and smile with him, and that's perfect. One other thing about Radulov is what Max Pacioretty said this week after the game in Dallas. He said, "I've been playing in this league for the last 12 years, and I look at what Radu is doing on the ice, and I decided to take a page of what he's doing, and I never thought that those plays could be possible in that league, and it works." So this guy is not only having an impact on his game, he's having an impact on everybody on that team, and everybody loves him. This is just a great signing at the end of the day, and nobody expected it. If you think about the history with Alexander Radulov in hockey, he should have signed with the Avalanche, but Joe Sakic refused. You think Joel Sakic today? Think that Alexander Radulov could be a good fit on his team? I'm just asking the question.
Yeah, well, it would. I'm sure it would be a little bit of a different situation, obviously, too, in Colorado. I mean, the winning atmosphere also brings that out. Brings out out of the guys, right?
You need players to bring that winning attitude.
Sure.
You think Alexander Radulov will? You know, if he was an Avalanche instead of a Montreal Canadiens, you think he'll be sitting on the bench and let, you know, the season pass? I don't think so.
Yeah.
I don't think he's the type of guy who could really change the philosophy of your franchise. Obviously, he can't be alone. He needs help. If you're alone on your island, it's not going to work. It's obvious that the fact that Carey Price is playing for the Canadiens and Shea Weber is here and other leaders on that team like Max Pacioretty, it's helping a lot, Alexander Radulov. But at the end of the day, he's a guy who impressed everybody in the organization, and I'll be shocked if he's not a Montreal Canadiens for the next few seasons.
Well, that's what I was going to ask, Bruno. With all that talk and with how he's been playing, is Montreal going to break the bank? Are they going to keep him here? Are they looking at a long-term? Has there been any sort of discussions to get him signed up before he becomes a UFA?
Well, as you know, since January 1st now, he's allowed to sign an extension with the Montreal Canadiens. I'm not sure it's really a wait and see situation because I don't think that Alexander Radulov needs to prove anything else to the organization. But you have to understand that you need to have the right price, and you need to make sure that Alexander Radulov is happy in Montreal. He looks really happy. So I think it's really a situation where Alexander Radulov wants to play in Montreal. I think it's obvious that the Montreal Canadiens wants to keep him in Montreal. So when you're here, when you know that both parties are on the same page, you have to expect that something's going to happen. We asked the question to Mark Bergevin about the talks with Radu's agent. He didn't want to talk about it. But at the end of the day, if you look at what Mark's history as a GM, look at Jeff Petrie. He got Jeff Petrie from the Oilers at the trading deadline. And Jeff Petrie at the end of the season said, I want to stay in Montreal. Well, it didn't take long for Mark to give him an extension and to sign him. So you have to expect exactly the same situation, I think, with Alexander Radulov. If he's asking for $10 million per season, you and I know it's not going to work, right?
Yeah.
But there's a special relationship between Alexander Radulov in Montreal with the fans because he played for the Quebec Ramparts. He knows the passions of the fans in Montreal. He really enjoys it. He embraces it. He's happy to play with the Canadiens. So because of that, like I said, I'll be shocked if Alexander Radulov is playing for another team next season.
Yeah, we'll see. Well, we certainly enjoyed seeing them all play tonight. Give us more of that. The Montreal-Toronto meets again in a few weeks' time. Hey, Bruno, thanks very much. Very happy New Year. Always appreciate you joining us, okay?
No problem. Anytime, guys.
Bruno Lavoie from TVA, and we'll chat a little bit more about that as well when we come back. We're going to have Renaud Lavoie joining us from TVA again. We'll be breaking in about a minute. Just let everyone know we'll continue on Sportsnet 590, The Fan, and most of the affiliates. Mm-hmm. Interesting, I would think that might have been the start of Patrick Waugh leaving as well. He big-time wanted him. He coached him in junior. And all the little things, elements, came from the Colorado Avalanche. I know there's more that happened, but that would be one of the elements that way. We'll come back, talk more. We'll pick up on the out-of-town scoreboard with Matt Brown as well. We'll hear from many of the players in tonight's game. We'll hear from Mike Babcock as well. A 5-3 win for the Montreal Canadiens over the Toronto Maple Leafs. A very entertaining, exciting game at Air Canada Centre. We got it all for you. You're listening to Leafs Nation Postgame, brought to you by your GTA Acura dealers, Gord Stellick, Todd Alusco on Sportsnet 590, The Fan, and the Leafs Radio Network.
Sunday. Refund us all your money. Sign up for our free podcast at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher, and we'll send you a free subscription for Sportsnet 590 The Fan on demand. Absolutely free. It's your post-game workout. You're listening to Leafs Nation Post-Game on Sportsnet 590 The Fan.
Brought to center ice now by Bozak to Marner to Van Riemsdyk, back in for Marner to Bozak, who scores! Oh, what a pretty tic-tac-toe play! And Mitch Marner's artistry is very much on display. 2-1.
Maple Leafs cut a 2-0 Montreal lead to 2-1 on that, and other players will get all the goals, but Mitch Marner gets three assists, was the second star of the game after Alexander Radulov. And as Joe Bowen mentioned, his artistry, his wizardry was really out there on display tonight. Ultimately, a 5-3 win for the Montreal Canadiens over the Toronto Maple Leafs. We welcome you back to Leafs Nation postgame, brought to you by your GTA Acura dealers. Gord Stellick, Todd Alusco on Sportsnet 590 The Fan. We'll go over those goals in a sec, okay, Todd? We're also going to hear from many of the players involved in tonight's game, including Mitch Marner, a little bit later on. But let's pick up. We had our man Matt Brown before Renaud Lavoie called. Just going over the out-of-town scoreboard. Let's review that all again, because, as he said, it's a big time for scoreboard watching, and there were 12 games in total.
Yes, yes. And I'll mention quickly that Mitch Marner, three assists tonight. First Leafs rookie since Kyle Wellwood to have three games with three assists. Something tells me he's going to pass that, though, at some point this season. Edmonton scoreboard, two games of note for the Leafs in the standings. The big one, the Bruins win 4-0 in Florida tonight, so they move back ahead of Toronto for third in the Atlantic Division. 4-0 victory. Tuukka Rask makes 25 saves, his fourth shutout of the season, 25th of his career, tied for second all-time in Bruins history. Brad Marchand scores twice, once shorthanded, once on the power play. David Backes, Riley Nash get the other ones. And in Ottawa tonight, the Capitals win their fifth straight game. They beat the Senators 1-0. Braden Holtby, second straight shutout. TJ Oshie gets the only goal this game. Nick Backstrom becomes the first Capital to record 500 career assists. In New Jersey tonight, it was Taylor Hall versus Adam Larson, and the Oilers win 2-1 in overtime. Mark Letestu gets the game winner on the power play. Matthew Benning scores the lone goal in regulation, his first career NHL goal. Connor McDavid gets an assist on the OT goal, his league-leading 32nd and league-leading 46th point. The other games around tonight, the Rangers come back and beat the Blue Jackets in the third period, 5-4. They score three unanswered goals. Adam Glendening gets his first and second goals of the season, and then Michael Grabner gets his 18th of the season with 17 seconds left in regulation to win it and hand the Blue Jackets their second straight loss. So if you thought John Tortorella looked crusty at times in their 16-game winning streak, you can imagine he's not very happy after this loss. And the Sabres, of course, win 4-3. We talked about this game a lot today because it wasn't the result that everyone talked about afterwards. It was the fact that Patrick Laine was knocked out cold by Jake McCabe in the second period with a huge hit. He did not return to the game. McCabe was also hurt. He did return, though. Ryan O'Reilly leads the way with a goal and an assist. Sabres score three unanswered goals to come back and win this game. Flyers also afternoon winners, 4-2 over the Lightning. They've won just twice in their last nine games after winning 10 straight. Red Wings and Sharks scoreless 10 minutes into that game out west. Flames up 2-0 on the Canucks already. Alex Chiasson and Matt Stajan with the goals. Canucks went into this game with five defensemen because we know Chris Tanev was hurt last night. Ben Hutton didn't start the game. And then Todd's favorite player, Trampkin, gets hurt in the first period. So they're down to four defensemen right now in this game, trying to match a franchise record, seven straight wins after beating the Flames for their sixth last night. But after 40 minutes down 2-0. Blues win 4-3 tonight with a late goal by Patrick Berglund, his seventh of the season. Vladimir Tarasenko gets his 20th on the power play. He's got four goals in his last three games.
Dallas Stars lose that game to St. Louis.
They lose that game.
Points, yeah.
They are in rough shape so far because they're still now a few points out of the playoff spot. The Coyotes win in a shootout, snapping their nine-game losing streak. They beat the Islanders at home. Brandon Perlini gets the lone regulation goal, and in the shootout, it was Louis Domingue who comes up big for them in that one. And we should mention there's a pretty, you thought this was a scrappy game tonight and a lot of good fights.
Mm-hmm.
If you want to check out what you still call the World Wide Web later on, there's some really good highlights from the UNLV Utah State women's basketball game where the benches cleared and they were throwing bombs.
Really?
Really?
All right. Mm-hmm. Check that out for sure.
Well, we will check that out. Thanks very much. Boy, Kyle Wellwood. You know, he got off to a little good start, kind of a quiet, unassuming guy, a little bit of a quirky guy.
I think Big World Junior guy, too.
Played in Winnipeg a little bit at one point.
Vancouver.
Is he? I wonder if he's in Europe now or where he might be.
No, he's retired now. He was actually on Hometown Hockey.
That's where I saw him.
Windsor.
Yeah, that's right. Windsor, Ontario.
Yeah, he was a Spitfire.
Yep.
Coming up, memories of that. So, okay, so Todd Olusko, let's go over the games tonight. You have the summary there because you got on the computer. There's no hard copies available tonight.
You're talking about the goals, yeah? Okay, and, let's do it.
Yeah, Montreal, 20 seconds into the game. Talked about it, just a perfect way to start the game and really set the tone in many ways.
Well, the first goal of the game by Max Pacioretty. But it all gets started by Radulov early in the game. Kadri receives a reverse shoulder from Radulov a la Peter Forsberg-like. And it basically it knocks Kadri back, and it's like he hits a brick wall. Radulov then grabs the loose puck, goes behind the net, and finds an uncovered Pacioretty. Another one of, a little bit of a mental block there, who's able to one-time the puck past Anderson. And that's not the way the Leafs wanted to start. 1-0 Habs, only 20 seconds into the game.
And then 2-0 a little bit later on. So 2-0 a little bit later on as well.
Yeah, Arturi Lekkonen ends up getting his sixth of the season, and that's at the 3:47 mark of the first period. And this is an untimely pinch by Jake Gardner. The Canadians were able to break down, come down on a 2-on-1 with only Connor Carrick back. Connor Brown does a great job of back-checking, trying to get some backside pressure, but is unable to catch Lekkonen, who manages to squeak a shot under Anderson's right arm and his body. He couldn't squeeze the arm to the body tight enough. He gets by him. The Habs jump out to a two-goal lead early. It's 2-0 Habs.
Well, we thought it was going to be a long, ugly night, and this is where the Leafs, who have seen two-goal leads and three-goal leads dissipate on their behest, are able to come back and do just that with a couple of quick goals.
Well, Tyler Bozak scores the first goal for the Leafs, and this is on the red-hot power play. I mean, it's a perfectly executed power play breakout that starts it up. Ends up being a perfectly executed rush as well that ends up cutting the Habs lead to one. So it's a great give-and-go inside the Habs blue line as Marner dishes the puck to Kadri or to JVR wide. And then Marner ends up driving the net. He gets a pass back to JVR, but instead of stopping, he just redirects the pass to a late trailing Bozak. And he's, he has a gaping open net staring at him. And he says, thank you very much. And he deposits into the open net a highly skilled play by Mitch Marner on that redirective pass to give Bozak an open net. It's 2-1 Habs.
And then the Maple Leafs, again, the Mitch Marner show continues.
Well, that's exactly what happens. This one's Nazem Kadri is a benefactor of this. He gets his 16th of the goal. And like we said, it's on a power play again. It strikes again. The power play looks fantastic early in this game. It looks like just like they drew it up. They controlled in the offensive zone after a slick little drop pass at the blue line by Kadri to Nikita Zaitsev, who ends up kind of toe-dragging it to the middle of the ice. He then finds JVR in the half. Wall hits Marner in the high slot, who gets a shot on net. Kadri follows up nicely and gets a secondary scoring chance, as we talked about in the pregame. That's how you're going to beat Carey Price, and he ends up making the Habs pay, and he puts it high short side over Price. It now all of a sudden it's a 2-2 game,
and that's the way the period is going to end, or so we thought. And it's something that Mike Babcock mentioned. I mean, Morgan Riley, it's kind of like that, those guys running into the end zone but spiking the football just before they cross the line. You see that from time to time, kind of a mini hockey version of that.
You know, we talked about that, and Mike Babcock made point of that in his press conference, that you didn't manage the clock properly, and that's what I said. It was poor clock management by Toronto and by Morgan Riley, who knows better than this. Nikita Sherbeck gets in behind Riley with about 1 second left, and Sherbeck takes a slap pass from Jeff Petrie right in front of Anderson. Instead of getting rid of it really quick, he knows he has a little bit of time left. He goes from his backhand to his forehand. Anderson is down and out, and he puts a puck in. Looks like a 50-goal score in that one. Habs take a 3-2 lead. That was his first goal of his NHL career,
yeah,
as well.
Whooped
of the season,
well.
Sorry.
whooped it up as well quite a bit as far as it went. So 3-2 at the end of the first period. And then very quickly, the Maple Leafs had trouble. The first minute and the last minute of the period, that's what happens in period number two.
Well, again, and this is all Radulov again. I mean, and we talked about it. They've got to be ready to start the game and or start the period. And again, it's just a little bit of a brain fart by the Toronto Maple Leafs. And this is on the power play. Bit of a broken play. Shea Weber fans on an attempted shot just to the left of Anderson. But he doesn't give up on the puck. And he tracks down the puck behind the net and then sends a backhand pass in front of Radulov, who wastes no time and, you know, is able to get a one-timer pass Anderson again to restore the Habs' two-goal lead that they had earlier in the game. It's now 4-2 Montreal.
And the Maple Leafs, though, do cut the margin down. Do make it 4-3. Do make it a little bit close for a bit.
Well, welcome to the Mitch Marner show. Again. Yeah, he does his best Elvis Stoiko impersonation using the entire offensive zone to buy himself some time and space. Doesn't look like anyone wants to attack him or jump him. And then all the Habs end up doing a lot of puck staring, looking at Marner and his magic that he's producing. Then he finds JVR, who's basically just standing in front, going to the right spot, being at the right time. And he just puts a stick on the ice, and it's a perfect pass from Marner to JVR, who just has to put his stick down. Marner hits it and redirects it past Price. Marner's magic is marvelous. It's 4-3 Habs after two periods.
Yeah, when you get your stick down, you know, those are the kind of things they always talk about. Meanwhile, goal number five for the Montreal Canadiens, it's a case of, I think Freddie Anderson would like a stick or glove or something there. Just one of those, what do you call it, a softie, or what do you call it?
Well, you would call it a softie, and this is the fifth goal, and this is what Mike Babcock was talking about, was a bit of a backbreaker for Toronto. A tough one to give up. So the Leafs did a pretty good job of keeping the Habs' offensive zone cycle to the outside. And then Michael McCarron basically, you know, he doesn't really have a whole lot. So they always say good things happen when you throw the pucks at the net. He throws the puck at the net from a very bad angle, basically along the goal line, even with the net. And it hits Anderson. I believe it hit him just on the inside of the pad. And it just caught the perfect angle of his pad. And it gets in behind him and redirects into the net. A really tough one that Anderson, I'm sure, wishes he could have back. You look at the tape and figure maybe if he was a little more tighter to the post and not out as much, he would have had it. But that's 5-3, and that's basically a wrap for the game.
That is a wrap for the game. The Montreal Canadiens 5-3 winners over the Toronto Maple Leafs. And again, I'm going to find that stat to put it in context, that the kind of dominance they've had, I mean, you're talking 13 consecutive times they've played the Toronto Maple Leafs. Something, you know, Todd, that's kind of quietly, you know, stepped up at us all as far as it goes, that they've beat them the last 13 times. And you look at, I'm going to find those streaks again. Head all the way, here they go, from our buddy Stevie Fellin. So, okay, so 13 consecutive wins against the Toronto Maple Leafs. So it will tie their third longest such streak in franchise history. But listen to who these streaks were against. Mm-hmm. So against, first of all, the Washington Capitals, 23 games. But 1974 to 78, the Capitals were an expansion team.
Yep.
Then the California Golden Seals, Cleveland Barons, 16 games. That's, again, from 74 to 77. Cleveland was an expansion team then. And then the Vancouver Canucks, same thing, 13 games, 71 to 73. They were an expansion team.
Yep.
So the Maple Leafs are kind of the best team, best type team they've ever done that against.
Yeah, and it's something that Toronto wants to get rid of, and they're going to try to get on February 25th when Montreal comes back. But, you know, again, this was a depleted team that came in, the Montreal Canadiens. But you know what? You know, this was a little bit of a trap game because you knew that there was some guys on the Montreal Canadiens team today that was getting their opportunity to play in the National Hockey League. They want to be guys that are going to be here on a regular basis. And they got some solid efforts from some of the guys that are called up today. And, you know, a player that played a pretty decent game today, interviewed with Matty Brown, was Carr today. And I thought that he just played a solid game. I mean, there was a lot of guys like Daniel Carr today that just came out and played a simple, safe road game. But, you know, it was effective. In the end of the day, they ended up coming out of the ACC with a 5-3 win and two important points for Montreal tonight.
Well, we'll hear from many of the principals involved in tonight's game. And I don't know if he's getting any longer media-wise. It seems like Austin Matthews has been a little bit better at that. But Mitch Marner, boy, 3 assists, second star of the game, and just put on a show. Very entertaining, efficient, exciting hockey, except they lose as a team. Here's Mitch Marner after the 5-3 loss.
Mitch, pretty chippy game out there tonight. It's the type of thing you expect going up against the Canadiens.
Yeah, it's been a heated rivalry for a long time, and you know, these are games everyone loves playing in, so it was like that again tonight, and you know, it's fun to play in.
First look we've seen from you this season on the penalty kill, has that been a strength for you, and it seemed like you did pretty well?
Yeah, I kind of got a little experience back in London doing it, you know, past 2 years there, and you know, obviously after the thing that happened with Goat, you know, kind of we're a short one, and you know, obviously it feels pretty good that he has trust to be on the PK. So, you know, obviously it's a thing you just want to get better at every time you get on the ice, and you know, try and learn as many things as possible.
It's your third game this season with 3 assists. What do you think has made you so successful at being an effective distributor?
I think it's guys I play with. They get open for me and, you know, get me the puck and find space for me. So, you know, big credit goes out to all of them. And, you know, obviously me, Bozy, and JV are doing a lot of give and go today and, you know, creating space for all of us. So, you know, it's things like that that, you know, kind of get you points. And but obviously, you know, we want the win and, you know, we just got to be more effective that way.
That first assist is sort of a little one-time drop pass. Did you see Tyler out of the corner of your eye, or is that some kind of set play you guys have?
No, it's just kind of entry and, you know, kind of felt the guy on me and hoping Tyler was coming back door. And, you know, I knew he passed it to me and was going to be coming through the middle. So, you know, luckily enough, it kind of bounced the right way off my stick and, you know, landed on his.
A couple quick goals you guys gave up there in the first period. What was set on the bench to kind of settle everybody down and get you back in the game?
I think, you know, just stay calm. You know, a lot of the older guys, you know, they all have trust in us. And, you know, I think they all just stood up and kind of said, you know, relax. It's the first period. We still have a lot more time to get back in this game. And, you know, I think that's what we did. We just forgot about it quickly. And, you know, Freddie was a brick house after that. And, you know, we just made sure we kept the foot on the pedal.
You guys are entering your bye week now. How do you think those 4 days off are going to help this team?
Yeah, it's going to help a lot. Obviously, we have a couple injuries that, you know, are going to be nice to have back. So, you know, it's just about making sure you treat your body right over this break and being ready to go when you come back.
Sort of touched on it a bit, but when you get to the stage when you're in a playoff race, that sort of supersedes all the good stuff they work with through doing. It becomes a team thing to get in the playoffs.
Yeah, no, for sure. You know, last couple of games, obviously, we've been playing the way we wanted to, and I think we did again tonight. You know, a couple of bounces went the wrong way. You know, it's part of hockey, but I think, you know, now we're going to figure out this game. You know, we have 4 days off kind of just to recoup and, you know, start over again. So it's kind of like a fresh start, and, you know, we're all ready for it, I think.
There we go, Mitch Marner talking about the game. He was, boy, that was quite a show. He put on Jim Ralph at the one line that the one goal when he's spinning around that the other kid would throw down the what do you call him, the
control.
playing video games.
Yeah, playing video games.
What do you call it? The controller. Like, well, you know, and it's interesting too, Gord, because we were talking when we saw Mitch Marner out on the PK, and we said, hey, man, he doesn't play PK too much. And then, you know, the question was asked tonight to Babcock why he's out there, and he says he played it in junior. But, I mean, also, it's later in the game. You need a guy out there with some speed that can maybe...
And Freddie Gauthier's out.
Well, yeah, and he's out, but get a guy with a little bit of offensive flair, a little bit more open ice. I mean, that, you know, you never know if you get a shorthanded goal there. Mitch Marner's the type of guy that could have went out there and produced one for him, so that makes sense to put him out there in a PK, especially when you're down 5-3.
Well, Zach Hyman, I mean, he of the controversy that he got a chintzy, undeserved penalty for crashing Carey Price, and then Shea Weber went after him. He gets a penalty. Later on, he hits Yemelin hard. All kinds of puck control, all kinds of shots, all kinds of control, all kinds of finding the open zone. It was a solid game. He was in the center of things. Here's Zach Hyman after the 5-3 loss.
At the end of the second period, Weber came after you a little bit. Is that just indicative of what the rivalry is all about, do you think?
Yeah, I'd rather him do that than punching the head back of the head when I'm down. But so I have no problem with him coming after me after that, but I'd rather not get punched in the head there. So.
Given the recent run of games, you guys have obviously crept into a playoff spot, which is maybe exceeding expectations for some people. Does that increase the pressure that you guys feel inside the room?
No, I mean, we just go out there and play our game. I mean, if we play our game, we have a chance to win every night, and that's kind of what we've been doing, and it's something that we're going to continue to do.
You look at those two early goals given up. How did you guys sort of resettle and refocus to come back and tie it?
Yeah, I mean, our power play is great. They got some big goals for us to get us back in the game, and then it's tough when we go down two early like that, and PK has to be better, and I'm a big part of that, so I got to be better than that. So,
how do you think this four-day break is going to benefit the team?
I mean, we got a good stretch here, and now we got to regroup, take some rest, and then get back at it.
Surprising to see Marner out there on the power play, or sorry, on the penalty kill. How do you think he did?
Really good. I mean, he wasn't, I don't think we were scored on when he was out there, and he's a fast player, so he works hard. So I mean, he's good out there.
You get a lot of shorthanded chances as well in the penalty kill. Feels like just a matter of time maybe before you can get one in the net.
Yeah, just keep shooting.
There you go. A little bit here from the one and only Zach Hyman talking about a guy who was in the center of everything. We have James Van Riemsdyk now. He seemed Todd Olushko to be kind of smiling, going, yeah, it was a pretty good world playing with Phil Kessel, but this guy Marner is not so bad.
No.
Either.
Mitch Marner has played the PK. He does everything. Every time he's on the ice, he's going to get things done. And whether it's a power play, penalty kill, he can be creative. And, you know, the guy has a skill set, and he's got a hockey IQ. So you can put Mitch Marner in any position, and I think he's going to succeed relatively quickly. If he doesn't understand it, he'll pick it up pretty fast because he just has that high IQ of hockey.
Yeah. Yeah, and talking about Mitch Marner, we're chatting as well about Zach Hyman, high hockey IQ, but JVR, I meant as well just looking at the fabulous passes by Mitch Marner today as far as JVR getting one of those goals. Let's hear from James Van Riemsdyk after tonight's game. Again, a 5-3 loss to Montreal.
Yeah, I mean, it's always a big rivalry game for us and for them, and again, we're trying to chase them down in the standings. They're trying to extend their lead, so obviously, you know, it's going to be a highly contested game.
First two games against this team this year, 2-1, very low scoring. Tonight, a little bit more wide open. What do you think the difference was?
Yeah, that's a good question. I don't know, it just seemed like that type of game right from the start where they kind of set the tone off the first shift, and then we got playing a little bit more as the game went on. It was kind of back and forth, and yeah, I thought it was a pretty exciting game, I'm sure, for the fans to watch.
A lot of room to move out there, but you and Bozak Marner still seem to find some space and still find some ways to score.
Yeah, I think yeah, we've got some good chemistry out there, and lately it seems we're finding each other. And on a couple of those goals, I think, again, we're just seeing the plays right now and executing, coming up the ice. So those are good things, obviously.
Mitch with another three assists tonight, and all in a different way. Has it reached a point where nothing that he does out there can really surprise you anymore?
Yeah, he's a tremendous player, and we're lucky to have him, and it's been a lot of fun playing with him this year. And again, he loves having the puck and loves making plays, and he's got a lot of confidence, and obviously, and he's going to continue to get better as the year goes on, so that's the scary part for other teams.
Talk about chasing this team in the standings. Is a young team, is more of a veteran team above you? What can you take away from a game like this in terms of lessons to learn?
Yeah, I mean, obviously we knew coming back-to-back, they're waiting here for us. We wanted to make sure we put forth a good effort, and I thought we did some good things, and unfortunately they executed it a little bit better than us, and yeah, now we got a break to recover and recoup and go from there.
What does that bye week do for you guys? These 4 days off, no games, no practices. How can you use that to your benefit?
Yeah, I mean, it's a long season. The games are coming fast and furious this year just because of the World Cup, and kind of the schedule seems a little condensed, so you really have to take advantage of times like this to rest and recover and make sure you're recharged for the second half.
James Van Riemsdyk, of course, talking about tonight's game and all the teammates and all the youth and all that's going on. You know, I don't want to get too deep into it, but everyone gets so excited about trade stuff, trade talk, trade rumors. And I agree that of the younger players, probably James Van Riemsdyk's a guy like you could get more for than, say, a Tyler Bozak. But you still have to keep some guys,
yes.
Todd. And I just think that, to me, he's the one guy that I'd be really reticent to trade.
Well, you get rid of guys, you still have to fill out a roster. And I understand that in order to get better in certain positions, you got to give up players of other ilk. So you trade from the strength of power or the area of strength. That's what I'm looking for. And, you know, that's what they have right now. They have a plethora of forwards right now that they could move. But JVR, Tyler Bozak, I mean, you know, it's I don't know what they're going to do. And I mean, right now, Gord, it's just they seem to be fine. I mean, the fact that they did get in the playoffs or they're in the playoff hunt right now, everyone gets excited. You want to make those moves, but nothing. You know, Lou Lamoureux's it's not his first rodeo. He knows how to build an organization, and they understood that the plan was they got to be patient and stick to the game plan with what they've done. So, you know, if something does happen, it's not going to be something that's just going to happen overnight. They've got a of thought. They're going to be thinking it through. They're going to be understanding that whoever does come in is going to be a long-term solution. It's not going to be a quick fix. And they're not going to wreck what they have here right now because they have a nice foundation of what's going on and whether they can expedite it a little bit. At the end of the day, it's a long-term rebuild right now. And if they can get there a little bit quicker, great. But I don't think they're going to deviate from the plan that they have set out coming into the start of this year.
Okay, Freddie Anderson, he's given up 17 goals in his last four games. Doesn't mean he's played poorly, but just a little bit of a higher number. And went back-to-back for the third time this season. Here he is after tonight's game.
Down early there in the first period, Freddie, how do you settle in and then they come back and tie it?
Yeah, I mean, we did a good job once we got back or down 2-0. We came back, and we unfortunately gave up the tie game again shortly before the period ended. It was a tough one, but I think we did a really good job of coming back tonight and not really giving up. I think we had a lot of good things to look at.
It's not the first time this year you've played both of the back-to-back. What are some of the challenges of playing that second night in a row?
I think you just got to try to focus on the game. And sometimes your focus is not really there, but you have to be the pro and be able to get up for that second game. And it wasn't my best game, but some good things, some bad things too. I think the guys did a good job coming back from those two goal deficits. But a couple times I made a mistake and let them have the two goal lead back. So.
The first two games against this team this year, lower scoring, 2-1. Tonight, a little bit more wide open. What did you see that was different tonight?
I think for our point of view, we got a lot of traffic in front of him down there, and I think that's the recipe to beat him. And I think we did a good job of that today.
For you, I think you've only not played six games so far this season. What's this four-day break coming up here going to do for you in terms of recharging?
Yeah, I mean, once you get going in the season, you want to look for every time to recover when you can, and but this bye week we'll be good for that, and we can come recharge for the second half of the season. We're right where we want to be, and close to a good spot there, and we want to continue that when we get back.
How tired are you? This is the biggest workload you've had in the first half of the season.
I've been feeling pretty good actually. Yeah. Getting used to playing pretty much every night, and getting loving it so far, and it's obviously fun being out on the ice with the guys pretty much on a nightly basis competing.
Did your dad stay tonight, or did he go home?
He's staying home tomorrow, so yeah, he got this game too. Would have loved to got another win for him, but wasn't going that way today.
Freddie Anderson, after tonight's game, he's been talking mostly on a winning slant. So they were 10-4-5 heading into this game, now 10-5-5 in their last 20 games. So pretty strong record for the Toronto Maple Leafs. I don't think I heard Mike Babcock talking about segments this time. We'll listen a little closer later on. He's obsessed with those segments, but there he is, a little bit of goaltending, Freddie Anderson.
Yeah, you know, the question was asked, is he tired right now? And you know, immediately he's like, no. I mean, you know, goaltenders that I played with during my days, I know there's different research on where, you know, rest and all that stuff. But guys want to play all the time. And if you ask a goaltender if you're ready to go on back-to-backs, he's always going to tell you he wants to play. I mean, no one wants to sit out. No one wants to sit in the stands and watch someone else play when they think that they can get the job done on a nightly basis. And that's why what I like about Freddie Anderson. He's a competitor. He wants to play. He wants to help his team win all the time. But I do understand that there is going to be a time and a place this year where he's going to have to take the bench and get some well-deserved rest. But at the end of the day, you know, they're still trying to find that backup. And Anton Biebel right now is that guy. And, I mean, Enroth was supposed to be the guy that was supposed to take a little bit of the burden off Freddie Anderson's shoulders. Things have changed throughout the season. So, you know, maybe the workload that they thought they were going to give him just increased a little bit because they're still in that search of that backup that can actually get them points from time to time. Biebel's played two games right now. Has got 3 points in the two games that he's played, so has done an admirable job, and I'm sure, you know, down the road he's going to get another opportunity to get in there and prove that he belongs as an NHL backup.
When we come back, we'll hear from Maple Leaf head coach Mike Babcock. Entertaining game, but not a successful one on the scoreboard for the Toronto Maple Leafs. Final score was Montreal 5, Toronto Maple Leafs 3. You're listening to Leafs Nation Postgame. brought to you by your GTA Acura dealers. Gord Stellick, Todd Alushko on Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
As an unlicensed doctor, we suggest a prescription for one of our shows. Sign up for our free podcast at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher. Fake doctor's orders. Sportsnet 590, The Fan on demand. Breaking down the game in a fanatic, obsessive, bordering on unhealthy manner. This is Leafs Nation Postgame on Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
Marner is curling around the pile, goes in with a pass, they score! Holy mackinac, he's done it again! Mitch Marner with a seeing eye pass to Van Riemsdyk, and it is 4-3.
Well, Joe Bowen with the call. That was one of the three Mitch Marner highlight reel assists tonight. Unfortunately, the three goals scored by the Toronto Maple Leaf players too shy of the five scored by the Montreal Canadiens. It was a 5-3 win for Montreal over Toronto. We welcome you back to Leafs Nation postgame, brought to you by your GTA Acura dealers. Gord Stellick, Todd Alushko on Sportsnet 590, The Fan. So, tough night, Todd, as far as Raptor fans go. They lose in Chicago. Again, had a big lead.
Usually,
saw it dissipate in the Toronto Maple Leafs case. A little bit of a script. The discussion, even Renaud Lavoie talked about it from Montreal angle, that they didn't seem to show up and be ready to play tonight, the Toronto Maple Leafs, because then there's parts of the game where it just was a hell of a hockey game.
It really was. And as we've talked out more in this broadcast, early in the broadcast, it's the start of the game. I mean, it's kind of at this stage of you know, anyone's careers right now, you can't not be ready from the drop of the puck. And I mean, Montreal, to their credit, they came out and they took it to Toronto that first shift. The physicality, I mean, that was obviously in their game plan. It was right off the faceoff. They won the draw back. The defenseman gained the red line, dumped it in, and then it was a physical dominant shift by Montreal on that first goal, and ultimately that's what caused the goal, was some clean body checking, Radulov really giving the reverse shoulder to Nazem Kadri, and in turn, you know, it caused a lot of open ice out there. Radulov was able to go behind the net with the puck and find Pacioretty in front of the net for the ultimately the first goal of the game. And only 20 seconds into the game, that really puts you on your heels quick. And then when Montreal was able to get that second one early as well, now you're just chasing the game the whole time, and that takes a certain amount of energy that maybe Toronto, you know, they exerted a lot to get it back at two, and then again a little deflating to give that lead back up to Montreal with 1 second left in the period. So bookending each period, you've got to clean that out. Those are the most important parts of the game: the first shift of the period and the last shift. You got to make sure that you're not getting scored on.
Well. Mike Babcock always talks after each game. Now, you hear here as well. He's kind of a little bit short and to the point. This isn't one of his best post-game pressers. And, of course, it's a start for 5 days off for the Toronto Maple Leafs. Let's hear Mike Babcock after tonight's 5-3 loss.
For each big game
out
there tonight,
is there anything you expect going against the Canadiens? Yeah, I didn't know if it was that chippy, to be honest with you.
Would you make Mitch Marner's game his work on the penalty kill?
Mitch was real good. I thought he was skating and jumping. You know, obviously, we didn't start on time, got ourselves in trouble. You know, some guys weren't good enough. Other guys played really good. So we did lots of good things tonight. But obviously, you can't be chasing the game. Pardon me? Yeah, I thought it was good. I mean, we had no penalty killers, so, you know, someone had to go. And I saw him penalty killing Junior tons, so, you know, fired him out there. He's got a good nose, and he had a good jump and had good sticks, so I thought he played good.
The team for Freddie, any kind of factor deciding to play him on the back-to-back night?
Pardon me?
Was fatigue a factor deciding?
Well, I don't know. I obviously didn't make the right decision there in saying that. You know, it's last time when we did it, we thought it was the right decision. This time it wasn't the right decision. So it's amazing how winning and losing goes into those things.
Was there a point where you felt like they turned? Is it a big goal in the first?
You mean the game?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, I thought we were still in a good spot there. I thought we were in a good spot at 4-3, too. I thought at 5-3, I thought the game was over. No, I mean, we still pushed and had lots of chances, but I thought the fifth one killed us for sure. And yet, I don't think you want to be going against Carey Price saying, I got to get five I don't think that's the approach. So to me, you know, we started the game. It was simple play. We lost the faceoff. We got knocked down. Guys didn't face the puck. They shot in our net. Second goal's no good. And now we're scrambling back. We get it to 2-2. And you got to know the time on the clock. You can't give up that goal at the end. And then, obviously, the fifth goal, you can't give up. So we had it all up. We got a four-day break. Let's get restarted and get ready to go.
Yeah, Mike Babcock, and, you know, just talking a lot of things that you pointed out, Todd, about just being picky, but with good reason. I mean, whether, you know, just you can't start that way. And then, as we say, that goal with 1.6 seconds left that Morgan Riley, and I use the comparable of these football players the odd time you see it in the bloopers where they have a touchdown and then they happen to drop the ball or spike it, and it turns out it's before they went over the goal line.
Yeah,
you know, that's almost like that. I mean, he had it under control for the end of the period, except he didn't. He just didn't.
And you know the thing is, Gord, is Mike Babcock and this whole organization is creating a culture here where those types of things aren't going to be accepted anymore. And I know it's a learning curve and we get all that, but there comes a time where there aren't any more excuses. They don't want to be that team in the past. And, you know, the more that you nip it in the bud early and talk about it, you know, it becomes routine that you're not going to fall into those things and not become lazy. And, I mean, those are just lazy situations. It's not paying attention to details, not understanding the clock, whether it's the start of the game or the back of the game. And, I mean, they've done a really good job of creating a culture where that stuff isn't accepted here in Toronto anymore. So when it does happen, you know, you're going to hear about it now because there's no longer any mulligans anymore. You don't get a break off. You don't get a chance to as a do-over anymore. You've got to be attentive to it anytime you're on the ice. And, you know, tonight it was a little bit difficult because especially that last goal, that third goal late in the period that Morgan Riley, he was above the puck. And he's been good most of the year. And this wasn't one of his better ones tonight. But they had the guys out there that they thought were going to be able to defend that lead going into the second period. And ultimately they get scored late in the first period. And that took a lot of momentum away from Toronto.
Yeah, and the goaltending question. So he kind of said, well, I was right before, but I was wrong today. Is that what he's saying? Like, I should have gone with Antoine Bebo? Or?
Well, hindsight, right? And that's what he was saying. I mean, he made the decision before, and it worked out for them. And then today, I mean, you know, everyone's all over this back-to-back stuff. Maybe he's playing too much. He made the right decision. I don't, you know, he's gonna take the heat or whatever and accept the fact that maybe he thinks he should have started Bebo after this. But it's easy to say that after you lose a game. This was the right call to put Freddie Anderson back into the game. And this wasn't all on Freddie Anderson. It was a bad start to the game. And again, I thought Freddie Anderson played a pretty decent game with the exception of that fifth goal, which was a bit of a stinker. And maybe the one that went under his arm there. But other than that, this isn't on Freddie Anderson. This is just one of those games. Bad referees, I believed, some bad calls, and I would never, ever complain about refereeing, but I thought that they weren't at their very best today. And again, a couple shifts where Toronto fell asleep. But other than that, again, this is a team that's still in the upward swing. I wouldn't say this is a really, you know, detriment to the progression of getting better. Montreal's a good team. Yes, they were a little bit depleted tonight, but you've got a world-class goalie, a world-class defenseman, and a guy that's found the fountain of youth in Radulov coming back to the NHL. There's some pretty big boys and some good players on that team tonight, and Montreal was just able to close it out.
Montreal, of course, has signed Al Montoya to a two-year contract extension. We talked to Renaud Lavoie about the fact you can do that after January 1st, and so then you asked the question about Alexander Radulov and you know what he may get. You know, it just seems like a real good connection there. He's had Quebec roots playing for Patrick Waugh's junior team in Quebec City, but this has been one of the pleasant surprises. But you know, after the Nashville, you know, and it's kind of funny. I go back that you know, something happened. Obviously the out after curfew, yep, out late, him and Kostisin. But then it also is dependent on how the team handles it. And they went big, you know, took him out of the lineup, and you usually hope you're going to win then.
Mm-hmm.
And didn't. And you wonder, did they overreact or whatever it may be? I don't know, because he was like, it was the coronation of him coming back 6 weeks earlier, and then you couldn't get him out of town fast enough.
I think that was a situation there in Nashville that he was still a younger guy, right? He wasn't that cagey veteran, and I think there was a thing where maybe there was, I got to imagine that in the dressing room, too, there was probably some veteran players that had a big impact, and maybe one of those guys was Shea Weber back then. But I think that was a situation where they're just trying to make an example of a guy, and maybe a guy that was just a bit of a loose cannon back there. Maybe he's grown up and he's matured over his years. That happens. We've seen that with a lot of players. We talk about Tyler Bozak, of how responsible and how good he is now, especially after the birth of his child. I mean, guys grow up, and I remember when I was a younger guy, too, I did some crazy stuff, and you wanted to stay out and do more things. And then as you get older, you understand that this is a job, this is your career, and you take it a little bit more seriously. And these guys, Radulov, I mean, this is a big year for him. He came in here. Montreal gave him an opportunity. Yes, he got a big chunk of change to come in for 1 year, but he wanted to establish himself again as a National Hockey League player. He looked at maybe what he had done in the past and try to correct that. And obviously, things have worked out great in Montreal, and it will be interesting to see if Montreal rewards Radulov with a long-term deal. And it'll be interesting if Radulov says, you know what, I'm not going to ask for a boatload. I like it, Montreal. I'm comfortable right now. Let's work out something that's not going to hurt the team long-term.
Yeah, and then meanwhile, it's funny, Montreal, Nashville, as we mentioned, the Shea Weber goes back to Nashville. By the way, they did a great job on the video tribute. I think most teams do it nowadays. Yeah. And, of course, they had so much to select from. But Shea Weber's career there, both on the ice and off the ice. But Alexander Radulov, it's like they want to forget about him. But
he had 2 points that game, too. I think he just stuck it right to him.
He had two assists in that game, and just like he was the first star tonight.
Yeah.
So that's another one that kind of got away from the Nashville Predators. So.
But sometimes you got to make decisions, right? You don't have a crystal ball. You don't know how things are going to work out for you from time to time. And, you know, character flaws can bring teams down, as we've seen in Toronto and other places. If you don't have the right people in place and you have some bad apples, they can drag other guys down. And that happens in every organization. And you have to make the judgment call sometime. And they did in Nashville, and it didn't work out for him there. But, you know, he gets a second chance in Montreal, and he's making the most of it.
Well, as well, we heard from Leaf coach, head coach Mike Babcock. Every Saturday, a staple on Hockey Night in Canada, our good friends Ron McLean, Kelly Rudy, Elliot Freeman, and Nick Kyprios, and they go over some hockey headlines, and some of them kind of contemporary about guys going potentially the All-Star game and what have you. So tonight, here on Hockey Night in Canada, here's the four of them talking hockey headlines.
It's time for the headlines, and the first is mine. I just tweeted out an apology to postal workers in Canada. Not everybody gets social media, so I said letter carriers, effectively their job was obsolete. In the case of Michel Lapensee, who was a letter carrier and an artist, a painter, supposedly painting was dead, and I said his route was discontinued, so his job was dead, but of course it's not true. There's 20,000 letter carriers in Canada, and I feel really badly that I said it that way. Bad communication by me, but thank you. Who doesn't love a letter carrier? We all do. So, Elliot, let's get to the Patrick Laine hit. Who wants to start?
Go ahead, Elliot. You deliver, right?
Yes. Some weeks. Patrick Laine, big hit today, and again, the Buffalo game, and it was a clean hit. I don't think anybody disputes the fact that he was hit 100% clearly, but he left the game, and there was obviously a lot of concern. Young player, great player, any player, you don't want to see them leaving the ice like this. Now, the good news is he was seen walking out of the building. Paul Maurice also said he had no issue with the hit, but also did not want to give an update. The Jets flew home tonight. He will see the doctors tomorrow. We'll have a clearer picture then.
I'll be really surprised if we don't see him out for a couple of weeks. There was some talk that he was kind of a lock to be a part of the NHL All-Star game. I don't know whether or not that puts this in jeopardy, but there's no question they're going to treat him like a prized possession, and I would believe that they would go beyond what they think is enough time for him to recover.
The JT Brown hit by Wayne Simmonds today.
Yeah, there's two things that I always look for, Ron, when I see something questionable. And number one, is it violent? And number two, is it predatory? And I saw neither in this situation. Is it sneaky? Yeah, perhaps. But I think there's a lot of things that he can argue. One of them is he was trying to stay onside, or he was going for a line change. He can also argue that he's entitled to his space on the ice. I don't see this as a suspendable act, but we'll see what happens in the next 24 hours.
I don't either, but I think it's a fine. I think that that was intentional. It's very slight, as you said, very sneaky. But to me, there was intent there.
suspendable for me, Elliot?
Chris Tanev. Well, I leave it up to the experts.
Okay.
Chris Tanev not going to play tonight after he got hurt last night in kind of a weird play. He was hit by a shot there. The Canucks are hoping it's day to day. They're going to know better on Monday what his availability is, but they're hoping it's not as serious as it initially looked.
Okay, Elliot. The Austin Matthews story that's sort of percolating behind the scenes, or is it a story?
You know, I think it's it was something that was gaining momentum, as you said, behind the scenes. You know, Lou Lamoriello in the Toronto, and in his history, is they protect rookies. And the Toronto Maple Leafs are a team that is really trying hard to protect their rookies. Mitch Marner, Austin Matthews from the spotlight. Don't let the demands get too great. There was a story growing behind the scenes in the past couple days that maybe they wouldn't want them to be at the All-Star game with the teams getting announced next week. The Maple Leafs' reaction to this was, look, we got a big game tonight against the Montreal Canadiens. We can't even believe this is being brought to our attention. And as one source said, look, Lou Lamoriello was told, everybody said no bonuses when he came to Toronto. Mitch Marner got his bonuses, or half of them, and Austin Matthews got all of them. So I think what the reaction is, I would expect to see Matthews there. I just think that there was some question about whether or not they would be made available, and the Leafs are like, we're not dignifying this with a response.
I've always admired Lamoriello for the fact that he wants to protect rookies, because I think in around the league that you have to make sure that their focus is on the game. And you don't need car deals. You don't need these personal endorsement things. That'll all come. And it's been my experience that sometimes, depending on the person involved, they change, and not for the better.
You can't argue the job that he's done with the young players, absolutely. But this is bigger than car deals or a local endorsement here, especially when you factor in the 100th anniversary. Here's the bottom line. Austin Matthews deserves to be an All-Star. The fans deserve to see him. And this is much bigger, as I said, is something local. So to Elliot's point, he has to go.
Well, you said it, Kelly. They're trying to prevent a big head, right? Mm-hmm. And he's going to say, Lou, or the organization is going to say, we'll show you a Stanley Cup if you let it do us our way.
You know, Ron, I always used to, when I first started broadcasting, when I was still playing for Los Angeles, it blew me away when I came here to Toronto and did all the shows with you, and I'd see all the Leafs with car deals and being made, you know, as a big deal. And I'm thinking to myself, there's something wrong here. There's something broken, because these guys think that they're better than they are, and the system's kind of broken. Like, if you earn it, if you're Gretzky, if you're all those top guys, Crosby in today's game, you earn it. It's different.
And to your point, Ron, if there's 29 other teams that had that same attitude, who would go to California?
Right.
Okay? There's a responsibility to the game as a big picture, opposed to what your...
It felt like Edmonton got in trouble with young guys. Too many young guys pushed too soon into that spotlight. So there's that. Anyway, I don't want to take all the time on this. The Los Angeles All-Star Game is where we'll unveil the rest of the Elite 100.
Yep, and there's six current players that are expected to be part of that top 100. And we can speculate here, but you know that Crosby's going to be there. The Stanley Cup's in Chicago with Taves and Kane. Some talk about maybe Doughty or Duncan Keith or Char being on that. But the sense is, if those current guys are going to be out there, they're going to play in the All-Star game. With the one exception, we know Yager is going to be on that list as well. He might have the leniency to sit there and say, okay, come on out there to California, but you don't have to play if you don't want to.
All right, a couple of quick things. You want to do Brandon Carlo, first of all? He's available, is it?
Well, it's the reverse. There was talk this week between Colorado and Boston about Landeskog for the second time this year, and Nick mentioned Trouba earlier in the year. Boston has told teams we're not trading that guy.
And what's the other one you wanted to do is Colorado?
Plekanec.
Yes, Plekanec certainly has been disappointing so far in Montreal. They signed him to that two-year extension at $12 million. They're going to start to get healthy with Galchenyuk coming back, but there's a sense that if he doesn't get re-engaged, that he might be available by the trade deadline.
You're okay on Colorado?
Yeah, we'll do it next week.
There we go. We're okay on Colorado. Leafs won't be playing Colorado. It'll be New York Rangers in Ottawa. So they have the break for 6 days as far as games go.
Yep.
And 4-plus days as far as getting a break. That. So it's interesting. We heard from Mike Babcock earlier. Eddie Olchuk talks about it that, yeah, if you think, and certainly we feel it, okay, not that people care what we feel. I just mean about games coming and coming and coming at you. And they've compressed the schedule to a degree because of the World Cup of hockey. And now with the mandated 5-day breaks, they've just not added to the season. They've compressed it even further. So, you know, are you better off, like they said, you want to get the break too. But then when it games like this, nights like this, some back-to-backs, if you can get a little bit of relief, that would be a plus as well.
Oh, absolutely. You want to, you've got to give the body a bit of a break and a time to rehab. And you know, it's interesting though. I mean, this 5-game break that you said, it's going to end up, you know, catching up to them on back-to-backs as they move forward. So who knows if it's a good thing. Maybe Mike Babcock knew something better than we did. What is this going on here?
Yeah, I don't know. What's your going on? Like, you're ripping the break, but what are you doing for your break?
I've got to do some investigative reporting and head down to Vegas.
Oh, okay.
And I've got to check out a few things with what's going on with the Golden Knights. So
okay.
I will be heading there tomorrow, yes.
Speaking of Colorado, that's another one. We'll check that out, too, when you get back about what goes on with the Colorado Avalanche when we get back from Las Vegas.
This is fantastic.
You have a great trip as well. We'll be back at it next Friday. Take on the New York Rangers and Saturday as well. A 5-3 loss tonight against the Montreal Canadiens. The Leafs go down. Entertaining game. Gord Stellick, Todd Olusko, Matt Brown, Tom Young, and the gang. Brought to you by your GTA Acura dealers.